This morning we read a passage from the 13th chapter of Hebrews, not a letter, a book in the Bible that perhaps we spend as much time with as we should. Be reading beginning at the first verse of chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, and then skip over and read verses 20 and 21. It's on page 213 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles, if you would like to follow along as I read a section which is entitled Service Well-Pleasing to God. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do His will, working among us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning I thought for just a few moments we would think about building a Christian. I don't mean with a hammer and nails, but we do have a pretty good blueprint here for us. That's right, the author of the book of Hebrews provides pretty good directions for building a solid Christian. Actually, if you wanted to extend the metaphor a bit, you could even say the author does a pretty good job of describing how you might want to build a Christian community, say a church, for example. So while we're thinking about some of the materials which go into building a Christian, if I mix my metaphors and start talking about the Christian community instead of the individual, or in addition to the individual, realize it's intentional. We're not exactly sure who the author of Hebrews is. We'll refer to him as author. But we know that he is interested in showing how Jesus, as our high priest, is a far superior mediator than anyone in Israel's past. And furthermore, this author is intent on showing how Jesus' mediation on our behalf translates into kingdom living. This portion of Hebrews describes a life that is well pleasing to God, godly, holy conduct in the kingdom. We often talk about doing God's will and how difficult it is sometimes for us to know what is God's will for my life. And usually when we say this, we are referring to our vocation, our life work, and by saying this, we are in reality exposing that nagging suspicion that we are not living up, at least vocationally, to our God-given potential. Or we wonder, after we have retired, for example, what God's will is for me for the rest of my life. But there is another aspect to doing God's will, and that aspect has to do with our behavior, our conduct in the kingdom. The author describes the characteristics of a life well-pleasing to God, a life which its living goes a long way towards doing God's will. You could even say that part of doing God's will is leading a life that is pleasing to God. So, for the next just few moments, let's use this portion of Hebrews to build a Christian. or a Christian community. So I invite you to reflect upon your own individual life and the life of First Presbyterian through this lens. Well, are you surprised that it starts out with love? Let mutual love continue. We Christians just can't get away from that word, can we? Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy, for God so loved the world. Greater love has no one than this. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels, but do not have love, the greatest of these is love. If you didn't know better, you would even think that God is love. The New Testament love is rich in meaning, far more than simply an emotion. It means caring for each other, sharing, sacrificing, helping, serving, listening. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows a sympathizing tear, empathy. Let mutual love continue. Show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now you know what part of the Bible that quote comes from. The Christian community, the Christian as an individual, is to show hospitality, not simply to each other, but especially and specifically to strangers. Each Sunday morning, typically we have visitors to this service of worship. And for the most part, they are strangers to us, at least initially. And it is our Christian responsibility that these visitors are shown hospitality. Now, we seek to be a hospitable congregation through intentional processes, such as having greeters stationed at the entrances and inviting you to greet each other, especially those you don't recognize, during the passing of the peace at the end of the service. But we also seek to develop a spirit of hospitality amongst each other, whereby each of us see that it is our Christian duty, our calling of discipleship, to make sure strangers in our midst are strangers only for a short time. Now, there's risk in being hospitable, isn't there? Isn't there? What if we don't like the stranger? Or what if the stranger makes demands on us that we are uncomfortable with? Or what if the stranger thinks differently than we do? Well, we remember, friends, that we were once strangers as well, just as Israel was once a stranger in a foreign land, and we extend our hand in welcome. The Christian extends hospitality to the stranger. Remember those who are in prison and those being tortured. The early Christians were often imprisoned, even tortured. We know that today that continues in many parts of the world. Jesus himself was arrested, imprisoned, tortured, and sentenced to death. The author reminds those who are not presently suffering for their faith to remember those who are. Many churches have active prison ministries, as did this congregation in its past when there was a prison a stone's throw from here. And our national church speaks out against the oppression of Christians in other parts of the world, working in advocacy ways to address these issues. And by extension, the Christian community reaches out to those who find themselves bound by some force beyond their control. As we mentioned last Sunday, a faith that mirrors the values of Jesus is a faith which proclaims release to the captives. God does not want people to live in bondage to any destructive power. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. This verse speaks both to the larger community, calling on all people, married or not, to honor the estate of marriage as being one blessed by God. And on the other hand, it speaks to those who are currently married, reminding them in no uncertain terms to honor your marriage vows. You know, it's said that the best gift a couple can give to their children is a strong, healthy marriage. Marriage is to be entered into seriously and taken seriously, both by couples and by the community of faith at large. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave or forsake you. Now you regularly hear from this pulpit how the things that endure in life are those things money cannot buy. But what is kind of curious about this phrase is this verse is how the author follows the phrase about money with Jesus' words, "I will never leave or forsake you." At first blush, you may ask yourself, what's the connection? But then you hit yourself on the noggin and say, of course, what the author is talking about is security. If you depend on money and what money can buy as your security, ultimately it will fail. Even a correction on the stock market has the tendency to unnerve you. Just when you think you've got it made, when you think that perhaps your possessions have staved off even the grim reaper, something happens to remind you that you're not in as much control as you perhaps thought you were. And the author reminds us of our ultimate security, that which will never fail. I will never leave or forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Ultimately, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Remember your leaders and imitate their faith. Most of us here can point to some person we hold up as a model of Christian virtue, someone whose life has touched us in a special way, a teacher, a coach, a minister, a friend. Every church has giants in the faith that we think about and remember with joy and love. Imitate their faith. Inculcate those character traits you respect about them into your own life. For the Jesus Christ they served is the same Christ you and I serve today. And finally, continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. One of the ways we do so is through worship. We gather here on a weekly basis to offer doxology, praise to God. Regular worship is one of the marks of a Christian. Worshiping regularly is doing God's will. But we praise more than once a week. We continually offer praise by the way we live our lives, not neglecting to do good, sharing what we have, continuing in mutual love, showing hospitality to strangers, proclaiming release to those in prison, and so on and so on and so on. What do you think? A pretty good blueprint, huh? Oh, you can think about other things for sure, forgiveness, joy, sacrifice, but overall, I think the author paints a pretty good picture. If you and I as individuals and if we as a community of faith seek to model our lives after this blueprint, I'd say we're on the way to doing God's will. I'd say we're on the way toward living a life pleasing to God. Let mutual love continue. Show hospitality to strangers. Remember those in prison and those being tortured. Honor your marriage vows. Keep free of the love of money. Imitate the faith of those giants of the faith. Continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That would be a pretty good list to attach to your refrigerator door, helping to remind you of conduct in the kingdom that is pleasing to God.